Amen. Thank the Lord for the fervent prayer and ask you to continue to be in prayer for me as I endeavor to preach to you this morning. I'd like to begin this morning with a passage of scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. This is such a beautiful description of God working in the life of Jacob. And I want to notice with you all in particular verse 10 this morning. The Lord found him in a desert land. The Lord found Jacob. You know, you hear people talking about finding the Lord. And I guess I know kind of what they mean when they say that. But the truth is, the Lord has not been lost. But we have been, just as Jacob was. And the Lord found him. And where did the Lord find him? This is Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. The Lord found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. What a description of the wilderness, wasteful and howling. If you've ever been out in West Texas, you've probably heard the howling wind. Well, that's what Jacob was experiencing, a desert, a waste howling wilderness. And the Lord found him. He was running. He was trying to get away, but the Lord found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. This is God leading Jacob and instructing Jacob. And the thought I want to dwell on this morning is in the latter part of verse 10, he kept him as the apple of his eye. I want to think with you all a little while this morning about that expression. God kept Jacob as the apple of his eye. This week I had a little accident, didn't amount to much, but I injured my right eye, and it was late in the afternoon, and fortunately the eye doctor was still at his office. He was there late. I thank God for that. Dr. Mark Bryant. And he examined my eye and he gave me two prescriptions for it. And he told me, he said, you know, Sam, he said, of all the body parts, the eye heals faster than any other part of your body. So he said, you did have an abrasion, but it's going to be okay. And I was thankful to hear that. Now, the eye, of all the five senses that we have, which one would you value the most? They're all wonderful, aren't they? The ability to see, the ability to hear, the ability to smell, the ability to taste, the ability to feel. God gave us our five senses so that we can experience fully the natural creation. And we ought to thank God for our five senses. But of all the five senses, I personally think that I would value my vision more than any of the others. Now, when God, the Bible says that God formed the ear, He designed the eye, God created the human body, and He knew how important vision was to us. And so, He designed the human body in an amazing way. The eye could be damaged easily, but God set it back in the skull, kind of in a deep pocket. That's amazing, isn't it? And then He surrounded it with hard bone. And then, not only that, He gave us eyelids that can cover the eye completely if there's danger coming toward us. And God so designed our body, if something is coming to us, we try to cover the eye more than any other part of the body. The eyelids are wonderful. And then God gave us eyelashes on the eyelids, and they're constantly blinking to protect us from dust or anything else that might get into our eye and cause it to be irritated. And then God, I was just reading about the eye this week after I had a little injury. I got to reading about the eye, and you know, God gave us tear ducts. And those tear ducts are constantly forming tears. Salty water that constantly washes our eyes. And then He gave us not only the tear glands to form those drops, but tear ducts that causes that excess water to go into our nose. And that's going on all the time. I even read about coal miners who would go into the coal mines and work all day, and they'd come out and they'd be totally black, covered with coal dust, except for their eyes. Their eyes would be white. Those tear ducts were working all day, washing the eyes and keeping them clean. Don't we serve an awesome God who designed the human body in an amazing way? Now, the Bible says that God kept Jacob as the apple of His eye. That just tells me that God was going to take care of Jacob. Is that what you all get out of that? God was going to watch over Jacob. Even though Jacob was mischievous, he was a rascal, he was not where he should have been, but God's eye was on him, and God was taking care of him. Now I want to turn with you to a prayer that David prayed in the Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 17. It's a beautiful prayer that the psalmist prayed to God on behalf of his care. We're in Psalm 17 and verse 8. Listen to this. Keep me, David is praying, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? David is asking God to keep him as the apple of his eye. Now, I pray that a lot for myself. And I pray it for my wife, for my children, grandchildren, for this church. How many of y'all ever asked for God to keep you safe, to protect you? You may not feel like you need it, but I can assure you, you do. We were singing that beautiful song this morning, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. And I noticed this verse. Charles Wesley wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. He said that what inspired him to write this song was one day he was in a upstairs room with the window open, and there was somebody hunting this little bird, and this bird flew through the window right into Wesley's bosom for protection. And that inspired him to write this song. So every song in this book has a story behind it. And sometimes we're very blessed to know the stories behind these hymns. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is high. And in the second verse, he said, cover my defenseless head with the shadow of thy wing. Beloved, you and I really are defenseless against the dangers and the horrors of this world if God was not watching over us. He's keeping us as the apple of his eye. He's not keeping us like the sole of his foot. He's keeping us as the apple of his eye. You may say, well, Brother Sam, if God is watching over us, why do we have accidents? Why do we get hurt? Why do we get sick? Why do we end up with cancer or high blood pressure? Well, I want to just say right here this morning, you and I would be shocked to know how much we have already been delivered from. Now, if we get sick with cancer or heart trouble or diabetes, we know about that. But there's a lot that we've been spared that we don't know about. We never will know about. There's no telling how many accidents that I have been spared driving down the busy highways of America. I know he was with me many times in Africa. It was so apparent that he was right there with me. But beloved, you and I need to keep that on our minds and just thank him for all that we have been delivered from, that we'll never know about in this life. And when we are experiencing trouble, we need to be praying that he would keep us as the apple of his eye. David prays, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Yes, sir. It would be amazing to all of us to know what we have already been delivered from. Let's look at another verse that deals with the eye. It's over in Psalm 94. And listen to what the psalmist would say in verse 9. He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? God formed the ear, and I'm telling you, he can hear you. He formed the eye, and he can see you and watch over you. Did y'all know that you're always on his mind? He's always in earshot, and you are ever before his eyes. How God can do that, I don't know, but I believe it with all of my heart and all of my soul. He is watching over his children in this world through divine providence. And sometimes God provides providentially for us, and we recognize it. But I'm sure there are many, many times God provides for us, and we're not even conscious of it. I may have shared this with you all, but many years ago when I was living in Allentown, I had a friend. We had built a house in Allentown, and I was wanting to do some landscaping. And I had a dear friend in Tennessee who grew a lot of plants. He had like 100 acres of beautiful plants. And he said, Brother Sam, if you can get a truck and come up here, I'll give you whatever you want. Well, I borrowed Hezekiah's truck and drove to Tennessee. And let me tell you, he loaded me down, probably at that time, $1,500 worth of plants, all kinds of plants, dogwoods, azaleas, crepe myrtles, And I was very thankful for it. But you know, I wasn't used to driving a truck, and I wasn't used to having it loaded down. And on south of Atlanta, about sundown, I ran out of gasoline. Right on Interstate 75. And cars whishing by me. And I'm out in the middle of, probably several miles to the nearest service station. And you talk about feeling helpless. I did. And I also felt very foolish, which I was. Foolish. You need to watch that gas gauge. Let me tell you, that's very important to watch it. Well, you know what? I got out and I waved at the first person that came along. He stopped and pulled over and got out and wanted to know what the trouble was. And I said, "Sir, I feel very foolish, but I've given out of gasoline." He said, "Well, you just wait right here. I'll be back." And it took him a long time, but he finally came back, brought me 5 gallons worth of gasoline in a 5-gallon tank. And I thanked him for it. I tried to pay him. He said, "No." He said, "Next time you find somebody stranded, you help them. Just pay it forward." Now, do y'all believe that was just an accident? I don't. Let me tell you, beloved, some of us can't. We can see the forest. We can see God's big plan working and taking care of the universe. But I'll tell you, you and I ought to be able to see every tree in the forest and know He's taking care of them. God is watching over us. And you're not taking a gamble when you commit the keeping of your souls to Him. Because He's able. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all understand that the God that keeps Israel never sleeps, never slumbers, and He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us? And I tell you, Franklin said in his prayer this morning that we could never begin to thank God for all of His manifold blessings to us in this life. And that is so very true, beloved. But let me tell you, there's so many of His blessings we don't even recognize. We don't understand it. But let's go back to our original text this morning here in Deuteronomy chapter 32. For the Lord's portion is His people. Now, aren't y'all glad God's got a portion? And who is His portion? Well, I believe Jacob represents the elect family of God. When we turn over to Romans chapter 9, Paul would talk to us about God loving Jacob and hating Esau. And if you will, let's just turn over and read that in its context. Romans chapter 9. He would say in verse 11, for the children... Now, the children here is referring to twin brothers, Jacob and his twin brother Esau. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to what? According to man's free will? No. According to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now I believe Jacob represents the elect family of God. According to election, God chose Jacob. And when did God choose Jacob? When He chose the rest of His family, and that was before the foundation of this world. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 1, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So Jacob is His portion. In other words, Jacob represents the entire elect family of God. And how big is God's portion? Well, I believe it's the majority. I tell you one thing, He's going to have the preeminence in all things, Paul said to the Colossians. And if the devil's going to have more in hell than God has in heaven, how could you ever say God has the preeminence? Are y'all listening? I believe God's going to have the preeminence. I believe there's going to be a great majority of the human family in heaven, not because of anything we have done, but because He loved us unconditionally and chose us, and we are His portion. Jacob is His portion. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. I want to remind you all this morning, beloved, that God's people are precious to Him. They are. How do you feel about your kids, your grandkids? They're special, aren't they? Well, I want to tell you, God's people are special to Him. And then He found Jacob. See, Jacob was a hoodwinker. He was a deceiver. He stole something from his brother Esau. And now he's having to run for his life. He's fleeing. Jacob, you know, I've heard people say to me, and I imagine they've said it, you just don't understand how God could hate Esau. Well, I'll tell you what's amazing. Not that God hated Esau. You know what's amazing? That God loved Jacob. Would y'all find that amazing? Here he is, a deceiver. Deceived his blind dad in his old age, lied to him, stole his brother's birthright. Yes, sir, Jacob is not somebody that you would admire. He was not somebody that you'd want to be a role model in this world. And yet God loved him. And God loved him unconditionally. And God chose him. Now, Jacob represents God's people. And we are the, and notice where God found Jacob. He found him where He found you and me. In a waste howling wilderness. In a desert land. On our way to an endless hell. God found us. Loved us. And brought us to Himself. And then the text says He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. In all of Jacob's lifetime, God was keeping him as the apple of His eye. And I just want to say this morning, beloved, to all that are in this house, you are God's children. He's keeping you and me as the apple of His eye. And if you don't see what a good job He's doing, I hope maybe this message will help y'all to see. Don't sit there and think, well, I wish He'd do a better job. Let me tell you, He's a wonderful God. And He's just the same today. Didn't we sing that song this morning? He's just the same today. His eyes are not growing dim. His ear is not growing hard of hearing. He's just the same today. Used to, I visited Elder Elsie Spear Sr. in Atlanta, just south of Atlanta. He and his wife, Sister Elizabeth, were always gracious and hospitable. And when I'd be going to Atlanta to catch a flight early in the morning when I lived in Statesboro, they'd let me spend the night with them. They didn't live far from the airport. But they lived right under one of those flight patterns. Those planes were coming in. Every minute until midnight, it was hard to go to sleep. And they had affected Brother Els's hearing. He got to where he couldn't hear well. And he was a dear man of God. I loved him as a father in the ministry. But I'd have to get right up to him for him to hear me. And I won't ever forget what his wife said, Sister Elizabeth. She said, I'll be so glad to get to heaven and never hear anybody say again, do what? She was so tired of Brother Elsie not being able to hear her. Well, he passed on. And you know what? Sister Elizabeth got to where she couldn't hear. Be careful. Her children said she got about as hard of hearing as he was. I'm here to tell you all this morning, you don't have to scream at God. No, sir. He can hear us. His eye is on the sparrow. And I believe He's watching over us. And His ear is open to our prayers. And you can just pray, just thinking, and God gets it. Remember, he's keeping us as the apple of his eye. And I was looking up that word apple this morning in Strong's Concordance. And you know, Strong's Concordance will give you the Hebrew and Greek definition of those words. You know what the word apple means in that text in Deuteronomy? Little man. I'd have never thought about that being a definition of the word apple, but if you put that term in there, God is keeping the little man. And let me say this morning, you may feel to be insignificant. You may feel to be so little, nobody notices you. You may feel to be all alone. You may feel to be the little man. But I want to tell you, you matter to him. Don't ever let, you know what? We all need to be humble. I understand that. It's very important that we be humble. But we don't ever want to forget how important we are to God. Let me tell you, if God loved you and gave his son to die for you, you are very valuable. Are y'all getting this? Are we still on the same page? I'm here to tell everybody in the house, these little children, this baby up here, the old folks that are here, we are all little men, but God loves us. He's keeping us safe. Isn't that wonderful to know? The president has his bodyguard. He needs them. Well, you and I need a bodyguard, and we got a good one. He's watching over us. Thank you all for your good attention.